I think customer data platforms will become much more prominent and I guess pragmatic once this drop happens. And I think in the future, yeah, like everyone will have their first party data somewhere and they'll be actioning off that first party data moving forward.
Welcome to Centricity, the podcast dedicated to helping emerging middle market companies pursue growth and bridge the gap between sales and marketing. In today's episode, our host, Will Riley, meets with Joseph Seo about the future of advertising in a future without cookies. If this is your first time listening, we encourage you to subscribe and leave a rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. Now, let's dive in.
Welcome back to the Centricity Podcast. Will Riley, the Revenue Operations Director here at Fitzmartin, hosting another episode on really the continuation of a topic that has and will continue to disrupt our industry. And that is, what does it look like to advertise in a cookieless future? So we have our expert back, Joe Seo. Joe, as our listeners listened to him before, is a seasoned marketer with over 20 years of experience from startups to healthcare to different technologies from all over the world, not to limit his reach from the Silicon Valley, and now comes from us from Canada, as where Joe and his family are. So glad so much to have Joe, and really one of our leaders in the revenue operations department. Joe's role for clients and prospects includes demand generation strategies, technology enablement, and is really a strategic arm from a research standpoint, but then also is very knowledgeable on what is the impact of removing cookies and leveraging third-party data, how that's going to impact clients as well as the entire industry. So if you haven't listened, this is actually part three around this topic. In 2022, so last year, we really explored just privacy and cookies and a lot of the differences. Actually, we went into the difference in first party versus third party, and would love if you haven't listened to those episodes, please listen to part one and part two, and we'll link those on the page that you could then listen to in retrospect. And what we covered in part two was more on really that shift. You know, episode one was the problem. And there was a little bit of urgency because the original date, specifically from Google, was 2023. And really, we're adding an addendum. We have a new date from Google and from other publishers. So again, we won't focus as much on the danger or the legal bounds of cookies like we did in part one, or where we get into a little bit more privacy acts and ways that you can violate different policies in part two. Really, in part three, we want to better equip our listeners like you to really understand, now that we have a new date, and we'll talk about that, what that means, because there are some real practical outcomes. You know, we don't want to oversimplify it. This will be as big, if not bigger, than artificial intelligence. This will be as big, if not bigger, than social media. This will be as big, if not bigger, than the internet. So when you look at an industry that's $152 billion, as reported by McKinsey in 2022, there are a lot of changes that are going to happen. And we want to be able to equip you guys and your companies and departments to really look at some alternative strategies for when this change comes. Because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And we're hoping to equip you to be ready, because you don't need to be blindsided by this. You need to go ahead and be making strategic decisions now to prepare for the future. So, Joe, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. Would love for you to open up with, what's the current state of the union around this cookieless future, and what should we be? I don't like that last question that said. I think I like maybe the initial questions, and I'm just going to restate that last. So, Joe, what do we need to learn about today? Obviously, I think you've got some some news to share, but would love to hear the state of the union on cookies, maybe even specifically from Google, and then any other dates and data that you might have to share to open us up.
Yeah, no worries at all. I mean, this has been coming for a while, and for a lot of companies like who are using, third-party cookies, they've already had to deal with this with regards to some of the big privacy changes that have happened. Obviously, browsers other than Chrome have phased out third-party cookies. So yeah, I think what it really affects is just that publishing or programmatic advertising world. And obviously, a lot of large organizations depend on that as part of their marketing spread. So yeah, I think there is some preparation if you haven't been preparing. Some preparation required if a lot of your advertising is through programmatic. And then other things to consider would be things like retargeting, loss of things like demographic data. And I think across the board, we're just seeing less access to data or data being compiled or categorized differently. I think the biggest change for a lot of marketers is a transition from GAUA to GA4 and a lot of loss of data or change of data or how the data is presented. I think it's just the same thing. Like Google especially is just trying to be more privacy aware, but there's another way to look at it in that they're really trying to take away, I think, a lot of the bottom line from these programmatic and advertisers and just bringing them into Google's own world. I mean, I've heard a lot of that. So yeah, I mean, a lot of things are happening, you know, just in advertising and technology. There are some things to consider. And I know in the first two podcasts, I think they've gone over things like first party data. I think that's the biggest thing to really focus on is really how you collect that data, where you store it. And then if you're one of those organizations that's really dependent on that data or metadata, it's important to think about how you're going to be collecting some of that data as well. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there.
No problem. Yeah, you were kind of saying if you're reliant on it, kind of the shift covered in the first two.
So yeah, one of the things that we're doing internally and with some of our larger clients, and I think this has been around for a couple of years, is creating a customer data platform. So basically, where do we house our first party data? And then how do we share data across different technologies within your marketing tech stack and data sources, as well as how do you conduct data analysis on these things without breaking some of the privacy rules that have come about? Segment is a tool that has been around for a while. And I think to some degree, they're at the forefront of helping organizations better organize, warehouse, and act on their first party data. If you haven't checked out Segment, it's worth looking into. If you're a company, obviously, that's just getting started in developing your marketing tech stack or just getting a CRM in place and you're just getting your first party data there, Segment might be a couple of steps away from that. But if you are a company that is evolved and mature in terms of your first party data and now you're looking really to shore up some of that metadata collection that you've been doing through programmatic, Segment is probably a good way to do it. It uses email as its primary key to identify a user, and then you can connect all your data sources as well as your advertising platforms. And then it centralizes all that data collection that may have been happening through a third-party pixel through it. So that's something to take a look at. There are some alternatives to Segment, but I think Segment pretty much is one of the standards that marketing teams are using or data teams are using just to collect that data.
Yeah, I like that a lot, Joe. Yeah.
I think
maybe almost like Segment feels like that'd be like a good closer depending on how we edit it. And I wonder if we should kind of focus a little bit on the programmatic boom. And like, I just have some data to share on it that's just interesting. And maybe once I share that, you could talk about like, yes, it's important to use publishers that, you know, use first party data. Maybe you could like say something like that as a, you know, to supplement what I'm about to say. So, Joe is exactly right. You know, one of the largest advertising tactics and channels and really just media strategies in general is programmatic because of how it's placed and how it is. I don't like that at all. I'm going to start over. So obviously that we already mentioned the U.S. digital advertising industry is $152 billion. And when you look at the industry losing third-party data as a piece of it, we do have to begin to shift more upstream rather on first-party data. So one of the biggest takeaways that I think everyone needs to hear is that the industry is not going to collapse. A piece of the industry is going to be really impacted. And we, you know, I think it's important to know that in over the last couple of years, I mean, programmatic has ballooned in the industry. I mean, when you look at just social, when you look at display and video advertising, programmatic advertising is almost 80% of all ad revenue that is out in the world. So that is an insanely high number compared to 2013, where it was 31%. So there are companies that will be really impacted by those strategies. And to Joe's point, these are typically bigger corporations. These are, and you know yourself what your market, or hopefully you know what your marketing team is doing and leveraging, but programmatic has a higher threshold and requires honestly more expertise and strategy. It's not as self-serve as some of the earlier digital marketing tools like Facebook ads or Google ads. Obviously, there are third-party programmatic self-serve platforms, but we're regardless of if you have an agency that you're working with or if you're self-managing it, the strategies that you have that are pulling from those third-party databases, that targeting will cease to exist. So when you look at increasing revenue, where should I be spending time in campaigns and the type of ads, we would strongly recommend contextual advertising as a path forward. We would also recommend capturing more first-party data from your sales team and from your website and from your marketing team, and even from the customer success or customer service team. If you have a point of contact with a customer or prospect, the onus is going to be on the rep or the employee to capture and gather that data instead of the other way around, relying on these third-party databases that have already done it for you. But we think, you know, the partnerships that you do have will just change. We have a, Fitzmartin has a programmatic agency partnership, and they are very near and dear to us, and our partnership will evolve. It will not go away. It'll just evolve. And to Joe's point, it will force everyone, even our partners included, to capture first-party data, but also leveraging second-party data. I mean, you know, we're really talking about one in three or first and third, but really there's an opportunity to leverage second-party data. So Joe, I would love for you to kind of unpack some of that. I know you work in it. You lead a lot of these efforts for our clients and for the firm. Love your feedback on, yeah, like what kind of tactics or campaigns might go away, or where should we be spending more ad dollars? And if you could even touch on even the second party piece instead of first and third, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, no worries. I think you talked a bit about contextual advertising. So I think that's something to look into for sure. Other things that companies have been doing for a while, like device fingerprinting, is something, if you're doing mobile advertising, something you can look into. But I think the best thing would probably be looking more at Privacy Sandbox by Google, which allows cohorts or interest cohorts. So they provide anonymized cohort IDs based on browsing behavior, and you can link up to this via APIs to kind of get some of that data you were getting before. And then, yeah, I mean, just because there's this big change in the end of third parties, I don't think it stopped innovation in ad tech. I think there's a lot of things going on, like differential privacy. So basically, it allows data analysis while protecting the individual user's privacy. And there's things that data analysts are doing, like adding noise to data so that they can kind of reveal specific user information. I mean, that's a little bit more advanced, but obviously, a lot of these big organizations with data analysis who are looking at large volumes of data, they're starting to do all this stuff just to kind of get around the loss of data. So yeah, I mean, I think those are some of the big things that larger organizations are doing. I think there's still time, like 2024, they keep pushing it back, but I think it just gives more time for organizations to, number one, get their first party data in order. And then number two, kind of put together the technologies or APIs or collaborations needed to kind of preserve and or get some of that data that they were getting before. I think especially for retargeting, right? Like somebody goes onto Amazon, looks up something, drop the third party cookie, and then you kind of see the same thing later on. Yeah, I think being able to preserve some of those techniques that were used before, I think is a big thing. And I think there are technologies, new platforms that would allow organizations to continue to advertise more efficiently and with relevance.
Yeah, it really puts pressure on the publisher in a lot of ways when we talk about the different relationships and upstream, downstream in the advertising space. You know, there are marketers that work for a company, there are agencies, there are publishing companies, there are media vehicles, and they're really, if you look at it from those different roles, everyone has a unique role that they need to adjust and adopt. And we would recommend that if you're the marketer, that you should be aware of what data that you're using now. Like, do you know that? Do you know that your campaigns are third-party based? Are they first-party database? Are you leveraging second-party data? So we would really recommend for all marketers to do a self-evaluation on what are we currently relying on right now. And I think a lot of marketers don't know the answer to that. To your point, Joe, they just really trust whoever that they're working with, and they may not necessarily know what that entity is doing with it or where it's coming from. So when you look at shifts from even analytics and what we're able to share, obviously we've seen it even this year with uploading lists and the fields within Facebook ads, and just the limitations on CRM uploads. The big players are creating their own restrictions to help with this. So for the marketer, we really think it's more important just to understand what you're relying on, because if you're relying on Facebook and Google, you probably won't have to change very much of your strategy. And that's what we wanted to focus in on, is that, yes, this is a massive entity, but when you really look at the amount of revenue that will need to be replaced by switching more on first party, it's relatively smaller than you might think. So when you look at different analysis on trying to build these new data strategies that rely on first party data, like we were mentioning, the industry will be ready. And thankfully, as long as you aren't doing it yourself, if you are a publisher, if you are a media vehicle, you're going to have to really change some things. But when you look at a marketer, or let's just talk about an agency for a second, in some ways we will conform with whatever the new tech is available and whatever the stances are now. So it's not a matter of, is it going to go away? Are we going to lose advertising? It's simply just shifting, just like it has before. And to Joe's point, we're already seeing DSPs be impacted by this, and data platform providers. And as long as you are leveraging, whether you have a partnership where they have a partnership with the DSP, or if you have a partnership with the DSP directly, talk to them about these changes and ask them what are they intending to do. Because an agency, in some cases, is the middle person, right? That they're not working with the publisher directly. They're working with another partner that is then working directly from a negotiation and access standpoint. So from an agency, we would focus more on, like we said at the beginning of the call, leveraging your current partnerships. And if you don't have a partnership to leverage these different databases to really scale and to have potentially a sole first party data strategy, then we would recommend searching for those kind of partnerships that are out there, because with so many current ad strategies that rely on third party, and with it going away if it doesn't keep pushing to the right within the next 2 years, including this year, your clients are going to ask you, agency owner, well, what's your stance on it? Or how are my campaigns impacted? Or what should we be doing differently? And if the agency can't answer that, then we would recommend you do what you can to make sure that you're equipped to earn additional wallet share from your client. I don't know where that stream came from. I just wanted to talk about it. I don't know where that fits in the episode. So,
whether you use a CRM, marketing automation, advertising platforms, or anything else, keeping track of your current marketing technology can be challenging. And if you need assistance sorting through your existing tech stack, Fitzmartin's MarTech Audit is here to help. Fitzmartin will audit your organization's currently utilized technology based on 7 categories, analyzing how your organization's tech components are used to see if you are allocating the proper funding to each criterion. The result? It delivers robust ROI savings through reduced tech fees, recommendations for future technology, and more time for your marketers to do their jobs. For more information, check out our show notes or visit fitzmartin.com.
What comes to mind, Jay, when he brings that up?
With regards to technology?
I think more like ad strategy, like specifically like programmatic, like a positive way where we have leveraged the shift. So like maybe that we've run a campaign, or maybe you've read something where we've actually already have shifted and like have seen good results from it, even if it's kind of hyperbole.
I think, yeah, just leveraging first party data. I mean, when you leverage first party data, at least what I've seen between like programmatic and first party is that your yielder results will be much higher. And obviously that just makes sense, right? Because there are people who have given consent or are interested in your brand or your service solution. Whereas with third party, it's always been, the results have always been lower, at least from what I've seen, but companies continue to do it because either A, like awareness wise, they're just trying to be everywhere. Programmatic, at least for me, I think has worked well with app installs, or mobile advertising, I think has done really well over the past couple of years, just because more people are on their phones, especially with like D2C programmatic, you know what I mean? Like you'll see the ads and after you've read something, it's like, oh, I need that, or I was interested in that. But yeah, I think with first party data and just leveraging that, even with the big platforms like Google, Facebook, they now allow you, and it's been a while, to upload your first party data there. And I'm pretty sure that in most cases, advertisers or marketers have seen better returns just by doing that. I think the challenge is obviously, and this challenge has been around since, you know, I started marketing, is how do you build up that first party database? And I think that's where marketers now will be forced to be a lot more disciplined, right? Like no more list buying, no more kind of focusing on or putting all your resources into third party advertising. And I think it's a good thing. Like it focuses marketers to be, as I mentioned, a bit more disciplined. And yeah, I think the transition, like right now, obviously people are going to be talking about it and worried about it, but like everything that has happened over the past 20 years with regards to Web 2.0, I mean, CAN spam and GDPR, all these things, I think people start to understand it. They see other companies and peers doing it, and then they just transition into it likewise. So yeah, I think that's where we're at. I think a lot of the larger organizations have already transitioned into different solutions and strategies, as I mentioned, like Segment. And yeah, I mean, I think it's just now the rest of the marketing world to catch up and kind of see that drop date from Google with regards to Chrome. And yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's important to know as well that a study done by Gartner points to that 81% turn off data tracking of users or consumers, 75% are using ad blockers, and 73% browse in no tracking mode. So people that are, since they've had to opt in and out, are choosing for the most part to opt out. So we're seeing the consumer change already, and where we think there's some really interesting positive tactics that you can be thinking about is that if we're already seeing the consumer change their behavior based on the future and the state of how we would be delivering these different messages, it forces us to look at, well, what are our tactics that are going to be the most impacted, and how can we then either shift those dollars or reallocate to a different type of strategy? So when we look at our clients and we are building media strategies, it's really a blue ocean floor with the tactics, whether it's a geofencing campaign, a location retargeting campaign, a contextual keyword, Google search, the list goes on. And really, when we look at the total, depending on how advanced your tech stack is, the specific tactics, and we'll list a few here, we think are really important to map to the journey so that you understand where the intent signals that you're going to be, where you'll need to reallocate money, and will ultimately change your KPIs and your reporting dashboards. So when we mention retargeting, these are late stage strategies. These are signals for a buyer that are already looking. They don't necessarily know that they which product, but they have already self-identified a problem and their intent is later in the funnel. So when you look at retargeting, whether that be LinkedIn or on social media like Facebook, Instagram, or paid search, obviously on the Google side or search in general, lower funnel strategies will be impacted nearly immediately because of how, and we'll throw in Amazon as well in here from a retargeting standpoint, but we're really seeing that those tactics that are late stage, more lower funnel, if you will, are going to be impacted the most. And those are really, most of those campaign tactics are distributed by three companies, LinkedIn, Meta, and Google. So because they're making a lot of these changes already, those will be impacted now, and then the limitations and restrictions will come later. Well, when we look at more upper funnel opportunities, that's where contextual targeting falls. That's where behavioral targeting falls. And when you look at even private marketplace strategies, there are premium inventory placements where you can leverage first party. And it actually will force all, if not most, if not the entire industry, to do more brand studies, to do more research, to actually place an ad and then survey that ad so that we can get more intelligence. You may not be spending money on brand lift studies, on doing before and afters on contextual targeting ads, but if you are losing some of the intelligence and targeting abilities from retargeting, well, programmatic can still be an amazing media strategy leveraging contextual targeting comboed with a brand lift study. You actually would get better data in a more sophisticated campaign than just simply turning on a CRM or a social media retargeting campaign. So we think that the industry will continue to grow. The money will be reallocated. It will force publishers and advertisers to leverage first party in all aspects from targeting to placement to publishing, name a few. And what we're, I think, really excited about is that the marketer has a very strategic and even more strategic opportunity, because now it might be harder to get some of these ideas approved, whether that's a conversational ad or, you know, leveraging, like we mentioned, a brand lift study of, did anyone see my ad? How did it make them feel? Are they more or less aware? And we believe that the intelligence that we're losing from third party that we've just been given, it's going to force us to actually spend more money on research and have our own data. So when we say leverage first party data, we should be saying get first party data. Like, how do you get it? And I think as you are, and Joe, if you have any ideas here for the listeners, let's maybe share a few takeaways. But yes, leverage, but let's start capturing that now and build new habits and new processes so that we can not be surprised by the upcoming change. I feel like I've had three wraps already, depending on your how we edit it, which is funny. Joe, maybe, yeah, like any other like kind of practical takeaways? I don't know if you liked my idea of kind of, I was like, go ahead and do it now. And like, I was just kind of spitballing it, like an idea of how you might do that.
I think just going back to my last comment about implementing a data solution like Segment and just centralizing your data there. I think that's probably one of the key takeaways. I think customer data platforms will become much more prominent and I guess pragmatic once this drop happens. And I think in the future, yeah, like everyone will have their first party data somewhere and they'll be actioning off that first party data and moving forward.
Thank you so much for listening today. We know this is a lot to factor in when you look at budgeting, planning, and strategically trying to grow your business. So we understand that while this may sound concerning, we want to reiterate, we yet again have another opportunity to evolve. And I think we are really excited to see how technology continues to evolve. We're excited that consumers have more authority and more power. And we're really excited to see the shift in media strategies. So to restate and recap a few next step strategies where we really think as a best path forward, you will absolutely have an advantage. And that is to use your own consumer touch points to collect first party data. So we already mentioned whether that's from a sales, marketing, web, or aftermarket team. Go ahead and start building in processes where you can capture those touch points and just continue to build and centralize your data. Second, we would recommend creating partnerships to leverage second party data. Maybe you have the right partners in place and you simply just need to shift the targeting tactics and where those are coming from. In a recent McKinsey survey, 41% of consumers said they don't want advertisers using tracking cookies. So we would definitely say this was imminent just based on consumer feedback. And we would absolutely encourage each one of you to either create a partnership or restructure your partnerships with those companies to now leverage second party where you may be relying on third party data. And third and finally, we recommend experimenting with contextual advertising. Maybe you're already doing some of those now. Maybe you aren't. Whenever we've been throwing those type campaigns in the mix, we are seeing some really great engagement and actually a lower CPM and a higher click rate compared to some of our other targeting tactics. And what's, I think, really unique about them is that it aligns the ad. They're more in image, you know, they're vertical specific content that's contextually relevant to the brand. So when it's based on context and categories, the content that they're reading about, well, guess what? If your ad is relevant, it will appear on those type of websites. Another type contextual may be keyword targeting. So serving your ad on web pages next to content that contains keywords and phrases that are aligned with your product and services. And this would be a great way to increase, yeah, brand awareness, but then also influence the audience to take action. So these are just a few immediate next steps that you can be doing now to prepare yourself. So we hope that these three practical next steps are super helpful and encouraging as we continue to get closer and closer to the phase out and the shift of a third-party less world, and hope that this podcast is really helpful. If you have any questions about what this means for your business or how can I self-evaluate and look at my campaign to see what could I be doing wrong, Fitzmartin does media audits. We can look at what you've spent. We can look at your performance. And we can look at your current channels and do an as-is audit and actually recommend what should this strategy look like in 2025. So if you'd be interested in sharing and wanting to learn more about what should your media strategy look like over the next couple of years, we would be glad to do a media performance audit accompanied by a recommendation. So thank you so much for listening today. If you have any questions in regards to this episode or other episodes that we've recorded, obviously you can reach out to myself and Joe on LinkedIn. We would love to connect with you. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Have a good day.
We sure appreciate you listening today. If you would like to get in contact with today's guest or stay in touch with us, visit our show notes. Additionally, to get the latest strategies for the alignment between marketing and sales, visit fitzmartin.com. As a reminder, if you have found value in today's episode, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, thanks for listening.